kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine, you have stood by me.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a lot to share. This is the Talk Back Hour. That means that throughout this program, whatever questions, concerns, issues that you'd like to share, you can call us at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, in between your calls, I'll be talking about methylation. Do you know what methylation is? Why it's so important? You will. We're also going to talk about the neonicotinoid pesticides. They're not just a threat to bees and causing bee colony collapse, which impacts one-third of all the food grown. They're also bad for humans. Also, cadmium. It's bad, and it destroys the cells of the human eye. I'll explain that. Then, from our environmental segment today, I'm going to look at coming to a field near you, Agent Orange corn. You heard me right, 2,4-D corn and soybeans just keep us on the same old pesticide treadmill. It's a terrible idea. Common Dreams will share that. Also, something you should also all be aware of, that the president's selected group, including Max Baucus, a man who has never seen a corporation that he wouldn't take money from or bid on their behalf. He's now an ambassador, and he's the one who put through, with no one else, the idea that the president should have a fast track of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty. Now, we've just gone through 20 years of NAFTA. We've seen its devastation. I'll tell you about NAFTA and all the people who voted for it, many of whom are still in Congress, were wrong. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were wrong. The entire corporate democratic system was wrong. And now they want to do the same thing with Trans-Pacific Partnership. We have to intervene. I'll tell you how to do that. Also, have you ever wondered why there's so many academics who come forward and tout big drugs, so-called miracle cures, or talk about with expertise why we should be in Iraq or Afghanistan, or why we should not be concerned about the treaties like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, where there's a reason why academics defend Wall Street, defend the Pentagon, defend all big business, according to the New York Times, because they reap rewards. We'll give you examples of how so many academics have sold out. And how do we know who they are? I'll share that with you. Also, the student debt system. Even the most destitute are hounded by debt collectors, including those working for the government. Shame on all of them. What can we do about it? I'll share that. From our public health segment today, seven drugs whose dangerous risks emerge only after Big Pharma made all of its money. Only after billions upon billions per drug were made, then we find out they're dangerous, shouldn't be taking them, or they don't work. From Martha Rosenberg. Also, did you know that the nasal flu vaccine recipients can pass the flu virus around everything, everyone in their environment for about 3 weeks? Well, think about all the people who are going to get this, including kids who go home. They have brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, school teachers. It's shed, and it comes out. They rub their nose with their finger, touch something. You've just spread the vaccine and the flu in it because it's a live flu vaccine. We have a lot to share, and we're going to go to a lot of your calls early on in the program. Let's also mention that you never know when you're not going to be able to tune on and listen on the radio, maybe even over the internet, something might happen. So we've gone to a substantial extent to make sure that you can always listen. There's two telephone numbers I'm going to give you. You can always call this number, these two numbers, and be able to listen. Recently, just last week, we had an enormous bump in our audience from WPFW in Washington, where people couldn't hear me on the radio on Friday. Well, they just went over and called on the phone. Just spiked thousands of people. Same thing with the internet. Write this number down. You never know when you're going to need it. 401-347-0456. 401-347-0456 or 712-432-7231. 712-432-7231. So let's begin. I remember growing up, every single person that I knew smoked. All of the adults, most of the young people smoked because it was a part of the culture. In fact, I never remember a meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, where my parents didn't end the meal with coffee and cigarettes. My older brother smoked as much as 4 packs of cigarettes a day. My father about the same, my mother 3 packs. And I always noticed their eyes were always bloodshot. Their nose always seemed to have enlarged pores. Their hair was brittle. Today, we know why. It's called oxidative stress. But there's something else about your eyes and smoking. Cadmium. Cadmium's a byproduct of cigarette smoking. Here's the latest on why we should be concerned about cadmium. This is according to the New York State Department of Health. You have a 300% greater risk of developing cataracts than non-smokers. Separately, University of Texas study in vitro, V-I-T-R-O, that means test tube or petri dish cultures, examine the effects of cadmium on human lens, which are the epithelial or outer cells, and discover that cadmium induces both dose-dependent and time-dependent damage to those cells, meaning the more you use anything that has cadmium, the more you're exposed, the worse the risk. Now keep in mind, a cataract is a progressive clouding of the eye lens, making it opaque to the point of no visual clarity regardless of external optical corrective measures. And so what happens? Well, according to Natural News, there's been a lot of focus on cadmium. It's not a toxic star like mercury, lead, or aluminum, but it's very toxic in its own right. It's not usually in vaccines or foods, but it's in cigarette smoke, first-hand and second-hand smoke, and it's most pernicious when breathed in. It's estimated that 90% of cigarette smoke's cadmium extends its toxicity into your organs, and you can get it through water that's polluted, air that's polluted, food that's polluted, and then cadmium nanoparticles also exist in those chemtrails that most people don't even know exist. In fact, once pristine areas of Arizona have reported high levels of cadmium and other heavy metals in water and air traps after chemical sprays or aerosol geoengineering periods, and while Mount Shasta, California, where a lot of chemtrails have been observed, has experienced an intolerable amount of cadmium and barium levels in their mountain snow caps, which means when the snow melts, it's in the water. Then it's in the aquifer, and you can't filter this out. So heavy spraying periods are accompanied by sharp increases in lung and bronchial issues on the ground, and cadmium and barium directly affect the lungs. In addition to cadmium and barium, aluminum nanoparticles are in those high-altitude aerosol sprays that make their way to the sea level. We had a Dr. Russell Blaylock some time ago on the program. He's very up-to-date on aluminum nanoparticles and their neurological impact when we breathe them in from aerosol geoengineering. He's aware of how dangerous it is, and he points out that breathing in more cadmium than ever before we're doing right now, with or without cigarette smoke. And we didn't have chemtrails when I was growing up. Now we do. But just keep this in mind. Cadmium at even low doses can cause bone damage, lung damage, inflammation, and kidney damage. And it's a carcinogen. So, and it's bad for the eyes. So what do you do? Well, if you've been exposed to cadmium, or if you're having problems with your eyes, chelate, K Chelation therapy is one of the known and proven ways of removing heavy metals from the system. There's no controversy about chelation removing heavy metals. It absolutely does it, especially in children. It helps get rid of the lead, aluminum, and toxicity. One of the first protocols that I put people on, especially if they've been diagnosed with neurological damage, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, which is ALS, and any form of autism spectrum disorder, they get a specialized chelation program. Now, for some, it's suppositories, others, it's intravenous, others, it's oral. You're not going to get a kid who's got brain damage and can't sit still to sit long enough to get chelation, but you can get it for them in other ways. Chlorophyll is the great chelator. Vitamin C is a great chelator. The two together are terrific. And then start making sure that you take tomatoes, watermelon, dark cherries, beets, red radishes, mustard. These are all very good for helping to trap free radicals and also protect the eyes and get rid of cadmium. There's good research now, as published in the peer-reviewed journal Phytotherapy Research. In this study, it showed from the American College of Rheumatology evaluation that turmeric, of course, is the spice that's used for curry, that it proves more effective than pharmaceutical pills at treating rheumatoid arthritis. That's real good news, because most of the known chemicals, the COX-2 inhibitors, the what we call non-steroidal anti-inflammatories that are used to help people with arthritis, actually cause an enormous amount of damage inside the body. So it worked better than the regular pain killer for this, and that's because of the active ingredient, curcumin. Curcumin has no harmful side effects. So 500 milligrams a day, which would be very little. I would never give anyone just 500 milligrams. It's too low. But still, they got results, even with 500 milligrams, helping people with arthritis. So it stops the inflammation in the joints, and that is important. I have bees. My whole adult life, I've lived on a farm or a ranch. When you live on a farm or ranch, and you take in animals that are abandoned or orphaned, which is very common, I would have people just leave an animal at the gate. Down in Texas, that happened all the time. Sick horses, sick cows. They knew that the only other option they had is take them to the vet. Either they couldn't afford the vet, or they knew the animal would be euthanized. And I've never euthanized an animal. Ever, not once. So I bring them in and I do everything I can to get them well. And then once they're well and healthy and if they've been abused, to get them to bond again with humans, then I try to find a home for them. And I've been successful in finding homes for a lot of creatures, or let them go back in the wild. And you know that farms bloom, wildflowers bloom. Everything blooms when you have bees. Bees are the great pollinators. Now, there are other insects that also pollinate, including moths and bats, and sometimes birds, but not in the same way. But the bee is just unique at it. One third of all the crops that we eat would not be able to grow if you didn't have bees to pollinate. For the organic farmers like myself, I've had over 200 hives at one time, and I never use the honey, I always leave it for them. Because that way in colder weather they have something to eat. Now it's when they don't have honey, when people have exploited the honey, then they will go out and try to find other sources of nourishment. And some people make the mistake of giving them some glucose water, which is not healthy. But there's nothing better than letting the bee eat the honey. Because what do you need the honey for? you want the pollination. They can pollinate, you know, 1,000 fruit trees. And what, so you get a gallon of honey? It's a foolish trade-off. So I've seen so many colonies that have collapsed, but not organic colonies. Not when you have plenty for them to forage on. And then they start to wonder, gee whiz, why are we having colony collapse all across the United States and Europe? Well, simple. And that is because we began to use the neonicotinoid pesticides. And the genetic combination of the cell towers, which would disrupt their signaling, and the neonicotinoid pesticides, and then the high level of stress from transporting bees around the country. Like in the wintertime, they'd be taken out to California to pollinate the almond trees. Hundreds of thousands, millions of bees. And then when that's done, they'd be taken maybe down to Florida for the orange crops. And that a lot of bees die in that transportation process. In any case, this is the latest on neonicotinoid pesticides. This is a new report issued by the European Food Safety Commission. And they found that a class of crop pesticides previously linked to causing mass bee deaths is also inherently harmful to humans. Now that's important because these neonicotinoid pesticides, they're very persistent. And what they do is they can disrupt the normal development and function of the human nervous system, as well as damage brain structures and functions associated with learning and memory. The report, which was officially released a few weeks ago, cites evidence demonstrating the neurotoxicity of neonicotinoids in humans. And most people have not looked at that. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal PLOS ONE. The article is entitled Nicotine-like Effects of Neonicotinoid Insecticides on Cerebellar Neurons from Neonatal Rats. And the study found that the current maximums for neonicotinoid exposure are way too much and can cause health risks for humans. So what's the takeaway message? One, support farms that use bees on organic crops and that do not transport their bees. They leave them. Two, let the United States government, through the Department of Agriculture or your local representative, let them know that you want no more politics involved where the EPA or the USDA always, I mean always, sides with the major corporate agricultural interest. No one's advocating for the bees. As a result, big corporations and the genetic engineering companies went out. So let them know. Better still, why don't you take a sign and go in front of Walmart or Whole Foods or any of the other supermarkets and say, I will not shop here as long as they sell any foods that are genetically modified, have organisms. One person becomes 10. Have literature on it. If you go to GaryNall.com, or ProgressiveRadarNetwork.com, you'll see a whole series of articles on what's wrong with genetically engineered foods. We also have learned their strategies, and we show you how every argument they give to confuse the public are just that. They're deceptions, and we show you the truth. So this way you're fully informed. Then while you're at it, watch, as over a million people have, Seeds of Death, The Truth About Genetic Engineering. It's free. It's there as a public service. Now, finally, before I go to your calls, a long time ago, starting with athletes, in fact, there was a Dr. Asa. Dr. Asa was from Israel. He's a very famous sports physiologist. He trained Olympics athletes. He himself had been a great athlete. And he opened up a stress athletic center here in New York. And he had come on my radio show, and he says, why don't you come over and we'll put you on some tests? I said, fine. I went over and he had a treadmill. And the normal way you go on a treadmill, and then gradually over a period of 15 minutes, they increase the speed and they increase the elevation till you're finally at the highest elevation. You're running up a hill and at the fastest speed. And then you reach your maximum heart rate, and then depending upon your training, you'll go 15, 20 minutes. I went 2.5 hours till the machine broke, and it freaked him out. He never forgot that. He told that story so many times. And he said, how did you do it? I said, well, first of all, I train really long. I do 4 hours of road work a morning. Plus, I watch my diet, and I never cheat, ever, because why would I? Why would I do something stupid? It just doesn't make any sense. Show me the advantage of me doing something that would harm my body. What, wherein is the advantage? Just explain. You should say drink a cola, and I'll say, why? I don't want that phosphoric acid. I don't want the caramel coloring, which is a carcinogen. I don't want the sugar. Everything in there is going to be harmful to me. Why can't I just go ahead and have a nice, healthy watermelon lemon juice? Throw in some ice, make it a slush. You get a great, throw in some raspberries. It's beyond delicious. There I get something, I get potassium, phytonutrients, quenches my thirst, and it's good for me. But also, almost everything I take is based upon its methylation. And it was interesting because he said, what's that? I was surprised. I would have thought he understood methylation. Most people don't. Dr. Kelly Brogan, writing in Green Med Info, gives us a primer on this. Here's exactly what he shares, and he's exactly right. And by the way, in the New York City Marathon, we have trained, meaning Peter Roth and Jimmy and Dolores and Buzz Perry and the Ortegas, John Q, all of us who have coached over 28,000 people over the decades to do the New York City Marathon. Every single one finished. And when you see all the regular athletes going to their water table, we don't. We set up our own table where we have like coconut water with red or green powders, and then they take methylating agents with them like DMG, dimethylglycine, trimethylglycine, and that gives them that extra energy, gives the cells the extra oxygenation, and it works magnificently. This is what Dr. Kelly Brogan says, quote, I was giving a lecture to a group of psychiatric fellows recently and got into one of my slides on folate. I get excited about this topic, and so I rambled on about one carbon cycle and SAMe and methyl cobalamin and the other elements. As I looked away from my slides, I could see the vacant stares from the near audience, knew I'd lost them. If highly educated and trained physicians don't know about this, it may be safe to assume that the average man or woman may not either. Here's the deal. There are a number of processes in the body that, when compromised or broken or otherwise dysfunctional, can manifest as fatigue, worry, insomnia, low mood, poor concentration, agitation, low attention, and unfortunately that frequently leads to a trip to a psychiatrist and a stop off at the pharmacy. What if you could manage this particular problem without a psychiatrist? When I consider symptoms of psychiatric illness, I think gut, hormones, mitochondria, and methylation. These arenas are so intimately interconnected that it rarely makes sense to look at one without the other, and it never makes sense, to me anyway, to think about inventing neurochemical imbalances before addressing these bedrock issues. Now, when you eat folate or B9 in foods like spinach, you take a multiple vitamin or eat any form of enriched with a much lauded folic acid, your body has to convert this into a usable form. This process requires an enzyme called MTFR. And to convert folic acid and folate into this particular usable form. Here's what this form of folate does. It donates a methyl group to homocysteine to ultimately make SAMe, the brain's major methyl donor, which is responsible for the formation of phospholipids, glutathione, myelin, coenzyme Q10, carnitine, and creatine. All vital stuff. It synthesizes BH4, or bioterin, a major cofactor for neurotransmitter synthesis. It recycles the inflammation amino acid homocysteine, and it builds red and white blood cells and platelets. Methylfolate is very busy. It doesn't work alone, however. B2, 6, and 12, as well as cofactors like magnesium, all help support the functioning of this pivotal cycle in the body. And then he goes on to talk about why we should have folic acid, because it's a methyl donor. I absolutely agree with that. I would suggest, however, that we have methylated folic acid, DMG, dimethylglycine, methylated B12, which are extremely important, and vitamin B6. Then you've got three things going to happen. You're going to bring down your homocysteine level, which can help protect you against heart attack and stroke. You're going to give more energy to the cells, and you're going to be protecting your body. So just look at all the wonderful methylating agents. Vitamin E is also good. It works in a different way, as does vitamin C, but they're extremely important. So that's good. I'm Gary Null. We're talking about health and nutrition, but this is Talk Back, and we also want to see what's on your mind and go to the calls early on in the show. So let's do that now. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Let's say hello first to Tim from New Jersey. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Gary.
How can we help you?
Tim Flaherty, hi. I was wondering, I saw an assay, because I was doing a little research and checking the lab analysis for the different sea salts online.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the one for the pink Himalayan sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that it had one part per million francium. Is that a dangerous? Because I looked it up and it said it has a very, very short half-life to it. But it was, I suppose, one sample of one of the sources. Because I saw that there were several sources that they
okay. Let's
they gathered
let's pull
from.
Back and ask a more, let's say, more unique question. How many different sea salts are there? And why should we be concerned? Well, there are hundreds. I've seen salts that are black, that have a very strong sulfur taste to them. I've seen green salts, red salts, pink salts, yellow salts, purple salts. Depends upon where they're mined at around the world. They are all more advantageous to our system than our white table salt, because our white table salt, though it comes from salt, more often than not, it's not from the ocean, and it's not strong in minerals. It is the quality of the minerals that you're getting with a particular salt. Now, with Himalayan sea salt, they come from the Himalayas, and it comes in coarse, and you have to understand that it's coming from the foothills of the Himalayas, and it's old. The pink salt was formed about 200 million years ago, and it has a lot of purity. It's unrefined. It's 100% natural. There's no additives. And it's naturally rich in minerals. Now, when it's naturally rich in minerals, it does mean you're getting a lot of minerals, certainly not as if you were to have a sweet potato or some kale. But as a condiment to enhance a dish, it's certainly better than any of the normal ones. So look for the Himalayan pink sea salt. It's also not genetically modified. There are no chemicals in it. But you could also go to some of the gourmet stores or go online and look at all the other salts that are out there and try a whole variety. Get a small quantity. Not all are going to be able to use in dishes because they are tough to take. Some I couldn't take. I had to spin them out. But others are fine. It's the mineral content that matters. And there are dozens of minerals in some of the salt. Okay. No, I don't know of any toxicity either from any of the ingredients. Let's say hello to Kim from New York. Hi, Kim, your turn.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I was wondering about how, your opinion on oral chelation with EDTA, and also, like, if you're not going to do the intravenous way, do you recommend the oral, or some people have said, like, a suppository might actually be better than the oral way, but then I've also read that may actually be dangerous to do it as a suppository, so I'd just like to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you very much.
All right. Ethylene diamine tetracyclic acid is the ETA. It's very good for getting heavy metals out, especially metals such as aluminum and mercury. But children and young infants, especially those suffering from any form of vaccine damage due to the adjuvants such as aluminum or from the mercury, the ethyl mercury, which is in the flu vaccine, those generally require an oral chelation agent. I wouldn't recommend a suppository for them. Generally, a suppository would be for people who are really heavily loaded with mercury. And your doctor could do a blood sample, because as you take chelation, you have to also be checking your urine regularly to make sure your body isn't over-grabbing minerals, because it cannot always distinguish between calcium and magnesium and boron and a heavier metal. So that's why with EDTA, you have to have a physician give that, so as it's going in the body and as you're urinating, they're checking your minerals to make sure that you're rebalanced with the essential minerals that you need. And that's why the intravenous is, I believe, much preferable. Now, the benefit of also chelating with nutrients is that it's about one-tenth as powerful as doing with EDTA, but if you're doing it with vitamin C and chlorophyll like wheatgrass juice, you'll also get a good effect, but it won't be a strong effect, which for a lot of people, that's fine. It just takes longer for them to cleanse the body of heavy minerals, but it also works as well. And for the average person who may be on a restricted budget and doesn't want to sit there and have an IV drip in their arm, then just taking vitamin C every 2 hours will also act as a chelator. And having a glass of vegetable juice, especially cabbage juice with kale in it and watercress, that acts as a chelator as well. Thank you for your call. Denise from Pennsylvania. Hi, Denise.
Question about cisterns. I have concrete cisterns for my water source to the house, and I filter three times before I actually drink it. My question is, do you have to actually drain these cisterns, get in and scrub them with Clorox, or is there another way to clean them?
Yes. Everyone should be cleaning their cisterns, unless these cisterns are made out of silver, which is not going to be the case. There was a time in ancient history where people understood that if you put water into silver containers, it wasn't poisonous. But if you let water sit in lead, it could be. And now we know that alcohol, like wine, that was in the lead and even pewter, the minerals would come off into the body and cause neurological problems. Many of the cisterns that you see throughout the United States are the old cisterns, and even back from the Great Depression. And they almost have never been cleaned. They should be. When I was visiting Bermuda last year, because two of my films were in their international competition there, and I was asked to speak, every single house had a cistern. So I went downstairs to look at them. You know, 2,000 gallons. And I said, do you clean it? They said, yeah. But they didn't clean it as often as I would clean it. Remember, anything that's in the rainwater is going to be in your cistern. And any bacteria that's in the air or molds can also be in the water. And water in and of itself cannot just stand without being filtered, without a bacterial overgrowth happening. So that's why you want to put silver in, clean it about every 3 months, bleach it down thoroughly. Hydrogen peroxide also works. And then, ideally, you pressure hose it and then dry it out. Then at least you have a chance of having clean water on a regular basis. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All the best, Denise.
Thanks.
Let's say hello to Stephen from Queens. Hi, Stephen.
Gary, Happy New Year. I've been listening to your show, especially when you have guests like Gerald Celente, and I listen to PRN with Richard Martin and even Michael Rupert. Very great, good shows. I'd like to know your view on what's happening with the economy, the stock market, and what's going to happen with gold and silver.
In the near term, the stock market, I believe, will continue to rise, not because the economy is booming, but because it's a bubble. When you had the Federal Reserve, and the new woman is simply carrying on the same policies as her predecessor, who carried on the same policies as his predecessor, going clear back to Alan Greenspan, who was brought in by Ronald Reagan. And Reagan was a great believer in busting the unions, and his idea, and unfortunately many people have picked it up as the Reagan miracle, there was no miracle. He simply saw that when unions and people negotiating were able to be kept down, then the corporations could have more profit. And that's how he manifested the people who had this love for him for getting the taxes down. Now, I fully agree that our taxes are too high. I also agree that our entire tax plan is a complete Faustian bargain. Even France now has 75% for its wealthier individuals. We at one time had a 90% tax in the United States because it was felt that was what was needed in order to pay off the war debt and to put more money back into the economy. None of that, it works. You don't really ever have trickle down. We've never had trickle down. The only place that anything trickles when you're very wealthy is to the people who are doing services or products for you. So there's this myth that if we just give wealthy businesses and wealthy people more of their money to take home, that will somehow mean that they will spend it or invest. Just the opposite happens. When they are given the opportunity to make more money, that money ends up with them and the people who are investing in their companies, their stockholders or bondholders. But I'm still against the taxes for several reasons. First, because we have lived with this myth that if we simply let the government do everything for us, it'll do it better than people in the private sector. In point of fact, neither does it right. The private sector, when they take over anything, they're interested in squeezing as much profit out of that equity position as possible, and whether it's the privatization of schools or privatization of parking meters in Chicago or privatization of water in South America, it's always a mess because there's no incentive for them to go in and really invest in something and then bring the price down of whatever it is that they're sharing, whether it's gas, water, a sewage system, a bus line. To the contrary, they give a desperate state or local government, they'll give them some cash up front. Almost all that is debt cash, someone else's money. And then in return, they have to have guarantees. So they will make 200 or 300% profit. And the way they make sure is they keep reducing the quality of what they give you. Look at the private prison system. Look at the private catering of food to the prison system. It's unedible garbage. And anyone who knows anything about our prison system knows that. So they're the ones lobbying hardest to make sure that the drug laws are not only kept in place, but they're the ones who give the politicians either rewards now or promises of rewards later. And we all of us in America know that for the 99% of politicians, they're pimps. I just wish that all the politicians, all of them, and lawyers, had to wear a pimp outfit every day. You know, I think it would, you know, 17-inch platform shoes with gold rings, gold teeth, you know, and a big, big banana hat on. I think if they had a hat like Carmen Miranda, they wore a tutu, and they had a sign that blinged and said, "I am a pimp for sale. I'm your president, vice president, governor, mayor, city council member, your senator, house of representatives, state or federal. You know, show me the money, and I'll show you access to power." Because then we wouldn't have to pretend that they're anything other than the pimps they are. And I think we all know that. And because they've sold us out every time and every place they can. But maybe I missed it. Maybe the student debt isn't happening. Maybe the students don't owe $1 trillion and they can't get out of it. And most of them will spend the next 27 years of their life after college paying off a debt, frequently at compounding interest, so they'll pay at least twice what they got for the school. Or that your home's underwater. 9.5 million homes right now are underwater. That's about 35 million Americans. Now, this is not the other group from 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. This is the current batch. They're not being given a break by anyone. But the very people who've been given the breaks are the people who got the breaks because they kept the price of money cheap. So cheap, it's zero. So if you're an equity partnership, if you're a hedge fund, if you're a bank, if you're a major corporation, you can go to the Federal Reserve and you can borrow any amount you want. How do I know that? Well, because of Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders, they got the Fed audited to the degree they had to tell the world and Congress who they gave money to and how much, and they gave Citigroup $2.2 trillion. They gave Bank of America over $1 trillion. They gave Goldman Sachs over $880 billion. Now, mind you, this is in addition to the original stimulus. All told, $20 trillion. At zero interest. So it doesn't matter how much they pay in a lawsuit, they can go borrow it over at zero interest with dirty collateral, meaning if you and I want to go get a loan, we have to show clean collateral. We have to show unencumbered collateral. You can't go in and say, "I want to borrow money for a car." What do you got for collateral? "I got a house." Good. "What's your house worth?" "It's worth $100,000. "Are there any liens or mortgage?" "Yeah, $300,000. Well, then you're $200,000 in debt. We're not going to loan you anything. But banks could be in a position of owing trillions of dollars if their bets on derivatives go bad. There's $600 trillion in positions placed on derivatives. That's five times larger than the entire amount of wealth in the world. That's how stupid this is. And yet, they get to do it unregulated. They get to manipulate the LIBOR unregulated and did. They get to laundry drug money unregulated and get away with it. They did when they were caught. $800 billion they laundered. They paid a piddling $800 million fine. 1% they had to give back. But then again, they could turn right around and borrow that money from the Federal Reserve. So the whole entire financial market is rigged because they're the ones who go in and can manipulate the price of stock because they can show enormous advantages to their company. We have nothing but monopolies out there, large monopolies in every field. So then they artificially boost the value of stocks. And then people think, "Oh, look at the stock market. You know, it's 16 going to 17,000. Yes. But how much is it actually worth? If you took all the bubble out, it'd be worth about 6,000. Well, then why aren't gold and silver prices jumping up through there? Because the entire gold and silver market has been manipulated. The entire. It is such a fraud that if everyone that had gold certificates tried to cash them in tomorrow, probably only 5% would actually get their money because the banks have already used that, your gold in the bank for themselves. But you say, "Well, hold on, that's not a savings account. That's my gold. They're not allowed. I didn't give them permission to loan that. It's not a part of their they're right? Oh, yes, it is. Once you have money in the bank or any valued asset in the bank, it's considered a loan to the bank. And too bad for you, because if the bank closes, A, I can promise you the FDIC will not bail you out, and B, you won't be able to sue the bank because the bank will give you stock, therefore making you a part of the bank, and therefore they won't have to give a nickel to anyone. They can confiscate your entire savings account, everything in it. That's how bad the system is. So our entire system, every single corner of our banking system is corrupt. Wall Street is 100% corrupt. Our government's corrupt. So how can any reasonable person, knowing how corrupt the system is, then look at it for guidance? Ask the average American, is our basic system broken? They'll say yes. The majority, 80%, will say yes. Then what do? We then say, but work within the system. Well, if the medical industrial complex is broken, and the number one cause of death is your doctor or medical treatments and injury as well, if our financial systems are broken and completely self-serving and corrupt, multiple times convicted, every single bank, major bank, and Wall Street firm, if we can't trust the media because it's self-interested, if we can't trust the talking heads and pundits, if our educational system can't be trusted to teach our children what they need to actually be critical thinkers, but instead just how to pass a test, if our elections are bought and therefore lotteries, not in any way representing a republic that is manifesting democratic principles to select people, if we elect nothing but sociopaths, if all we hear on television like Fox and the rest are sociopaths, narcissists, and very stupid people, then exactly how do you play that system and win? You don't. When you start playing that system, you will lose. So my suggestion is take your money out of their banks completely. Don't use their credit cards at all. Only own gold or silver in real gold, real silver, to you personally, and hide it. Don't put it in a safe deposit box, because if there's ever a run on banks, those deposits you're not going to be able to get. It'll be the property of the bank. Don't trust anything said by any politician. They are pathologically dysfunctional.
So do you see a correction this year happening in the market? And do you still think gold and silver is still a good buy now at the price that it's at?
Oh, I believe that it's not. Will gold and silver go up? You bet. But not until the dollar loses its position as the official reserve currency, which I believe will be within the next 24 months. I believe that there'll be a mixed currency with yuan from China and other currencies taking its place. It's happening now. I believe that we will be so top-heavy each year with our military-industrial spending of $1.7 trillion. And you don't have a peep out of the corporate Democrats or the liberals on that, and nor the corporate Republicans on that. They've never seen a war they can't support, or a major bureaucracy, no matter how bloated, that they can't support. Well, I don't support any bloat, corruption, redundancy, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we should feel good about giving our money so that some bureaucrat can make life more difficult for us. Do you believe that that's a good idea, that we should have people who lord over us and put us into threat that we could lose our homes, lose our like the national security agencies, backed up by 17 other major agencies, including the Pentagon, the White House, and Congress? That's given this power, that they have a right to know everything about your life, everything you do, everything you read, everything you speak about? Should they have that right?
No.
I'm asking you a question. Should
no.
they? All right. Should they have a right to tax you, and you somehow fall into this concept, this Kafka-like concept that as long as I'm giving money to my government's going to give me services that are good for me, my society, and help us be a safer and better country. And without any oversight or due process, do you believe that's healthy?
Nope.
Do you believe you can trust anybody in the media?
Not anymore.
I don't trust a single person in the mainstream or alternative media. None of them. I won't watch MSNBC anymore. I refuse to turn on Fox because every time I do, my IQ drops 7 points. And two more days, and I'll be an idiot. So I don't trust anyone in a position of power because I believe that when people need control over you, that's the last person in the world that you should be listening to.
Well, that's why so many people are tuning into PRN to really find out what's happening.
Well, and let me tell you something. We go to great lengths. You have no idea how many people from the mainstream and alternative media have tried to get shows on. And when we look at their background, they're bringing something that does not empower people. They're not engaging in critical thought. They're just there to sell their polemic. And we say no. And the people we do have on, we have 18 new shows starting in the next 2 weeks. 18.
I look forward to that.
Took over a year to bring these people on board. So what does that tell us? It means eat organic. Buy clothes made by fair trade or union work in the United States to guarantee someone a living wage. Don't buy them when they come from Bangladesh or places where people have been exploited. Don't buy genetically engineered anything. All right? See alternative complementary doctors, naturopaths, nurses, nurse practitioners, homeopaths, chiropractors, and nutritionists first. Don't trust what they say. Look at Counterpunch and Truthdig and Tom's Dispatch and Global Research and GreenMed Info, and all of that's on the Progressive Radio Network website every day. Last week we had 287,400 downloads of articles alone. So read the Progressive News. Work with people to get off their grid. Put your money into the small savings loan banks and the credit unions that are really belonging to the people. Gold and silver, I believe, will go through the roof in about up to 2 years from now, but it could happen sooner. It depends upon what's happening. Sooner or later, the bubble will burst. It is inevitable. And when it does, everybody with the talking heads on television will all be surprised. They'll all start to ask, gee, how is this possible? Well, because nothing changed from the great crash until now.
Joe Salenti is predicting the second quarter of this year. Do you agree with him, or do you think it's going to go beyond that?
I think it'll go beyond that.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you.
All the best to you. Thanks for your call. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more on our next program.